As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, hear these words from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Would you pray with me? So, Lord, this morning, we lift up our eyes, we lift up our hearts, and we ask the same question as the psalmist: where does my help come from? And we acknowledge the same is true. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and the maker of earth, the creator of us, our sustainer, our good shepherd, our good father. Thank you, O Lord, that you do not rest, you do not sleep, and so we can rest in your arms. Thank you, O Lord, that all the things that weigh heavy on us this morning are not too heavy for you, that you are glad to care for us, your children. You are glad to breathe new life into our weary bones. You are glad to bring health where there is sickness, life where there is death, hope where there is despair, joy where there is sadness, peace where there is chaos. That's what you do. And so we are here, O Lord, to lift high your name, to praise you, to worship you, and to be energized and filled up as your people, to join your good heart and your good work in this world. May all of that happen in this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing in our February series on God's desire for us to have mental health, wholeness, and some of those places that we don't talk about in churches often. And so we looked at a God who meets us in places of depression. Last week we talked about burnout. And this morning, this thing called compassion fatigue. If you will join me in Numbers chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 10. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a sucking child to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors?' Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you're going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting and have them take their place there with you. I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people along with you, so that you will not bear it all by yourself." And then in Mark chapter 6, verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And when they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves, now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Would you pray with me? And now, living God, as we turn to your word, would you help us encounter you in this very place? Jesus, you are the way, and you are the truth, and you are the life. And so open our ears and our hearts to hear the way we should go, to hear the truth that we need to remember and to embrace the life that you have for us. We are your children, and we are here because we want to hear you, O God. And so we are listening. Would you speak freely in this place? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Where do you get your news from? Just take a little poll in here this morning. If you mostly get your news from some form of social media, that's like Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, if that's where most of your news comes from, raise your hand. Yes, a few of the younger crowd. If you mostly get your news from like the local TV station, our local stations each morning, each night, if that's you, if that's where you get most of your news from, okay, that's a good chunk. If you get your news from those 24/7 networks, the Fox News, the CNN, if that's where you get your news from, all right, we will pray for you. If you get news from, just because it's on all the time, right? Not because I'm judging you, it's just too much news. If you get a news from an app on your phone, same like Fox News, CNN, but you just check your app, open it, close it, is that how you get your news? Yeah, yeah. All right, anybody get their news from a newspaper? Really? Where do you even get it from? So every week still? Every week from the newspaper. That's amazing. Wow, wonderful. Wow, I didn't even know that was a thing anymore. Does anybody just not ever get the news? Yeah, totally dead to the news. For those who do get the news, what are some of the bad things that have happened just this week? Yeah, I've got several of these shootings. Mass shooting. Just a sec. Mass shooting in Kansas City at the Chiefs parade. One died, over 20 injured, half of which of those were children. There was that Virginia home that exploded with firemen inside. One who passed away, 13 who were injured. There was a shooting in a church last week in Texas. There's the war between Russia and Ukraine that continues. Did you know that next Sunday will be 2 years since Russia invaded? Just over the weekend, Alexei Navalny, the man who dared to run against Putin, died in prison in Russia. There's the war between Israel and Gaza that rages on. It's as intense as ever. Over 1 million people in that city of Rafah have been told to evacuate with nowhere to go. 27 million people are under a flood watch in California. King Charles was diagnosed with cancer. This headline on CNN said the Amazon has survived changes in the climate for 65 million years, and now it's heading for collapse. Colorado Springs, there was a college dorm shooting. Not to mention the political divide, right? If you pick one news platform, the very first things you see are all about one candidate's ongoing civil and criminal trials. So you go to the other one, and the whole first headlines are all about the current president's incompetency. So whichever one you pick, the message is the same. Whoever you choose, we're all doomed. There are headlines about unruly homeless camps where drugs are openly used and sold. Headlines every day about increasing crime and decreased consequences. Has anybody checked out yet? Yeah. Anybody start thinking about their lunch plans? Anybody felt yourself going a little bit numb? Because it is a natural response when our brains are constantly overloaded with bad news. I mean, if you think about it, humans were never wired to take in all of the headlines from around the entire globe every 2 minutes. For most of humanity's existence, people lived in a very limited area, and their news was limited to that geographical space in which they dwelt. They knew what was going on by the people that they could walk to their house during that day and hear something from. If something happened across the village, word of mouth eventually made it to their homes, most likely. If something happened, say, 50 miles away, you probably never even know. Or maybe years down the road. That was most of human existence. That's how we were wired. The printing press began to change this. It was created back in 1440. It wasn't until 1638 that the first printing press arrived in what is the U.S. in Boston. In 1704, the first newspaper in America was published. And even then, for the longest time, newspapers were just weekly installments with limited readership. You had to live near the post to get the paper. And when you got the paper, headlines from the Western world might make the news, but there was a small chance of ever knowing anything about what was going on in India or Africa or even South Dakota, for that matter. Fast forward a lot, and you get the internet with Wi-Fi in every home, including those who live far away from the big cities. And with the Wi-Fi, with the internet, with the homes even in the sticks, you can get the news of a tragedy that happened in Djibouti, Africa, just as quickly as a tragedy that happened one block away. And not only can the news travel that quickly, but it does. Because that is how the media stays in business. Many of the news platforms today, they are supported financially by advertisements. And those people who want to pay for their advertisements, they pay more on platforms that get more and more traffic, more and more of our attention. And so how do they keep our attention? How do they keep us clicking? How do they keep us signing in? How do they keep us turning the TV on? By making every disaster feel worse than the one before. Because if we hear about the same old war or the same old famine, we get bored with it. 2 years ago, a week from now, we were all glued about Russia and Ukraine. What's happened there in the last month? What are the highs and lows? Some people in the room might know. Most people went numb at some point along the way. Same old war, same old news. And so to keep our attention, they have to tell the goriest details. Or they have to find some other event to one-up the one that we are beginning to grow numb to. You ask people all across the board, is the world in worse shape than it's ever been? And they're like, yes, 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 yes. Really? Or do we just hear about everything all the time? They begin to try to find the most sensational images to hook us, to shock us. We see suffering children and see cities ravaged by war and terrorists with their guns in the air. And we see these polar bears who are starving and on the pictures go. And these images, they are upsetting, and they're upsetting by design. They're trying to keep us hooked. But eventually, we have to turn away or turn something inside of ourselves off. As just a basic form of self-preservation, do we not? And this is kind of where this term compassion fatigue sets in. Because most of us in this room are really a good-hearted people. And we are people who actually want to love the hurting like Jesus did. And we are a people who actually want to make a difference in a war-torn world. And we are people who want to care for creation as God has asked us to. And we want to break over the things that break God's heart. But when we are inundated with 1,000 of these things every single day, neither our brains nor our hearts know what to do with that. It's absolutely overwhelming. And so numbness sets in. Or helplessness, this idea that nothing I can do would matter anyway. Or cynicism, the world's just bad and it's just getting worse. And so we can watch a tragic news story and turn the news off without feeling a thing. Even worse than that, we can begin to even see a neighbor who is hurting and we can pass by unbothered. And not because we're cold-hearted. Because we are a people with compassion. And sometimes that compassion begins to wear us down. It is compassion fatigue. Anyone dealing with a little case of compassion fatigue these days? Wow, good number of us. When you begin to think of it, has it been a while since you really felt within yourself that you were really passionate about helping bring hope to a hard situation? When you were just passionate about that? Has it been a while since you were passionate about bringing healing to a broken place? Has it been a while since your heart broke over someone else's pain? I mean, we know that Jesus' heart, we know what it is, because it's expressed all over the Gospels. His heart's especially expressed in those Beatitudes. Remember those? Blessed are those who mourn. You got to feel to mourn. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those who see some brokenness and give a care about it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice and for righteousness. These blessed ones, these are people who are fully alive, people who are feeling all the feels, people who are entering into a world of pain and doing something meaningful about it. This is the heart of Jesus. We know this. And we know that the world is healed by compassion. And we know that enemies become friends when they learn the gift of compassion. We know that starvation goes away when a society cares about compassion. We know that depression fades when communities move toward one another with compassion. If compassion is necessary to be a vibrant, faithful people of God in this world, the question is, how do we get it back when it has flat worn us out? A couple of stories from Scripture that I think help us with this. We've got our first story of Moses. Don't you love Moses? Moses and those needy Israelites. Now, you know that there were moments early on when Moses had so much compassion for this ragtag group of folks. Imagine those very first days when they were all fleeing Egypt together and crossing the Red Sea together and getting acquainted with their new home in the wilderness together. That challenge had to have been exciting for a little while, maybe even a little bit fun. I mean, you know that there had to have been nights when Moses sat in his tent and he was dog tired, but he was full of life and he just started laughing at what was right there in front of him, saying, God, what in the world are you going to make of this crazy story? How are you going to get these thousands upon thousands of people into a promised land? I can't wait to watch it play out, God. Better yet, I cannot wait to continue to participate in it. And then, somewhere along the way, the newness wore off. The excitement that he got to live in the wilderness with these people faded. Their needs and their quirks, once that were a bit endearing, now rather annoying. The people are whining and whining about everything. They're whining about their food. They want options. They want meat and they want spices and they're tired of manna. And they go and complain to God and God sets the camp on fire. So they don't do that again. Instead, they complain to Moses about God. He's a little bit safer. Moses gets absolutely worn out with all of the need. And he comes to God and he cries out, why have you put the burden of these people on me? They are too heavy for me to carry alone. If you're going to expect me, God, to take care of all of them, just go ahead and kill me now. Moses is over it. He's got a little bit of a case of compassion fatigue. Are you noticing in this series on mental health how many of God's really faithful people at some point ask God to just kill them? It's like this recurring theme. And so at least on our dark days, we know we're in good company. Seems that all the faithful ones hit rock bottom at some point. Just kill me now. Anyone in this room ever look around at your own family and see all the needs in that family? in our town, much less in this world. And with Moses, find yourself saying, God, how do you expect me to take care of any of that? Those needs are too heavy for me. It's too much. Just take me away. I can't do it. Here's what God does with Moses' plea. God says, get 70 leaders from the people, elders that are already respected among the group, who already show up to care for the people. He says, bring them together, and I will give them some of the spirit that I've given to you, Moses, and they will bear the burden of the people with you, so you need not bear it alone. You see, Moses named the things that he was having a hard time caring about anymore. And that is a really good first step when we're hitting compassion fatigue. God, I know that I should care about these Israelites who are having such a hard time adjusting to life in the wilderness, but I just can't care anymore. They are driving me nuts. And the sound of their voices makes me crazy. I used to care, oh God, but now I do not give a care. I'd rather not be here at all. I just love how honest Moses is in his entire relationship with God. Have you ever noticed that? Moses is never afraid to tell God just how he is feeling. From the very first time he meets God, from arguing with God at the burning bush about his calling. No, God, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. No, not me, God. From arguing with God at the burning bush to then begging with God to spare the people of Israel after the golden calf incident, to then telling God that he is tired of being expected to carry the burdens of these people. If Moses is anything, Moses is real with God. And I think that God loves that about Moses. It's a real relationship. Yeah, it's gritty at times, but it's intimate all the time. And I think God loves it. I say we try it a little bit more. Those things that you once cared about, or those things that you want to care about, that you feel your heart becoming numb to, just try having an honest conversation with God about it. God, those images of war, they seem so far away, so foreign. And God, I know that your heart breaks for the death and the devastation, but my heart's just not responding to it anymore. It's too heavy for me. God, the folks I see in this community every week, just looking at them, I know that they are stuck in addiction, in poverty. Immigrants, refugees in our own town, struggling to find their way. And God, I know that your heart is always with the vulnerable and with the broken, but my heart is becoming numb to the sight of it all. I can just pass by unfazed. It's too heavy for me. Just be real with them. Those things that you know tug at God's heart, that have quit tugging at our hearts, just dare to name them to God. It's the first step in getting the feeling back in those places again. God gives Moses 70 people to carry the burden with him. Now, these 70 would have all kinds of different roles in the community. Some of them may deal with the burden of food security. What can we do about this manna? Some of them may deal with housing. Some may deal with disputes among neighbors. Some of them may deal with teaching the little children the stories of Yahweh. They would all have a part in carrying the burden of the community, the part that was theirs to help with. Nobody was going to be expected to carry everything, but all of them had a role in carrying a little something. And that's where we get messed up sometimes. A few people try to care for all the people. And they get worn out. But all the people caring for all the people, they all get cared for together. It's not too heavy for anyone. Where we feel compassion fatigue setting in, look for a community of folks that God is rising up to care for those needs too. I hope and pray you find it here. That we may be that community. If not, then what are we doing? Oftentimes we feel like it's all on us to care for any certain group of people, but it never really is. You see, even back with the Israelites, God never ever meant for one person to carry the burdens of an entire family, much less of an entire church, much less of an entire community. God has always, always been creating a community of care where his people get to share the joys and the burdens of compassion together. Find a community where people are all actively doing their part. And in that community, do your part so they can continue to be that community. I hope that this church is becoming that kind of a place more and more, because having compassion isn't too heavy when we are all sharing the burden and the joy in community together. There are people in this church who care deeply about helping our children and our teenagers know God's love and God's truth. That is their burden, and that's their compassion where it plays out. It's to the next generation. There are others in this church who care deeply about foreign missions, about sharing the hope of Jesus in the world in places they've never even heard of him. Others are passionate about feeding the hungry. Some are passionate about recovery. Others are passionate about the housing crisis. Some are about making our town a better home for refugees, for immigrants. There are folks in here whose compassion is for the elderly. Some care deeply about us growing as a real community of disciples of Jesus. And I tell you, no one person in this room, not even this one, I promise, can care deeply for all of these things in this one place all of the time. It's too heavy. It was always supposed to be too heavy. But together, we can care for everything when each of us at least cares deeply for something. Something. What's your thing among us? Those who are wearing out trying to care for all the things, the Moseses in our midst, they need the 70 others to step into their places of care and compassion too. You care for something deeply. Show compassion in one area authentically. And you too, 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 and me too. And before we know it, an entire community of compassion we will be, and not a one will wear out under the heaviness of it all. Because we'll be sharing the care together. That is how God always intended for it to be. So I ask, what is your place? Your place where we especially need your compassion. Frederick Buechner, the Presbyterian pastor, he had this quote. You've got a little handout in your bulletin. And he said, your vocation, that is your calling, that is the place where God needs, wants your compassion the most, is where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Think about that. What might that be for you? Where's the intersection? What brings you joy? Where's your deep gladness? Some of you in this room love to cook. Your joy is in the kitchen preparing a feast. We're in a community where lots of people are hungry, where lots of people haven't been invited around a table in a long time. How do those come together? Some of you in this room love hospitality. You love welcoming people into your home and saying, my home is your home. We've got a lot of lonely people in this room, in this town. How do those come together? We've got people in this room whose joy, whose passion is children. They just love children. Holy smokes, there's some hurting children in this town. How do those come together for the kingdom of God? Some of you in this room are amazing artists. You make beautiful things. And we are in a world that needs to see the beauty of our God more and more. How do you use your art to connect those souls to him? Some of you love to garden. You can make something come out of anything. Oh, how could you use that gift of life from God's creation to feed some people, to set some tables? Where does your hunger, where does your passion, where does your joy meet the world's great need? Are you stepping into that place? Are you having compassion for at least one thing so it doesn't get numb by all the things? When we try to do it all, we just check out. But if we can find the one thing and do something that overrides that message of helplessness and despair, what's your one thing? Are you rising up as one of the 70 to be part of a community of care together, all of us doing our thing so no one has to carry everything? Then there's Mark chapter 6. The disciples have just been sent out to proclaim the kingdom of God. And as they did that, they were casting out demons and they were healing the sick. They had been busy. They had been busy caring for all the people that God put in their path. And they come back to Jesus to report on how their little mission was going. And they are excited. They're not worn out. They are energized. And his response to them says, "Go away to a deserted place by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. The disciples haven't hit compassion fatigue yet. They're still excited about how they see the power of God moving through them. But Jesus, wise as he is, sees it coming. They had no time for fun. That's a warning sign. When did you have fun last? They had no time even to eat. I don't miss that very often. But Jesus knows that this helping, exciting as it can be, it's not sustainable. And so he calls a mandatory rest. He says, get in a boat. That's where people can't find you. Get away with me for a while, Jesus says. And off they go to rest. To be in that place where no one can come to them with any need at all. They had to disengage for a while. For us today, getting in a boat might mean leaving Wi-Fi, where you literally can't scroll the news for a whole weekend. It might mean going where you have no cell signal, and so no one can ask you for help for a few hours. It's not selfish. It's just you and Jesus going off to let your tender heart rest. They snuck off with their group of friends on this boat. They would eat together and they would share stories about what they had seen, and they would just enjoy Jesus' presence, rest, leisure, fun, being in real community where nothing is asked of us. What is this that Jesus is doing here? What is he showing? What is he creating? He's showing his disciples how to have compassion on themselves too. You see, they were so busy responding to all the needs around them. Jesus said, guys, I am sending you on a mandatory retreat to attend to your own needs too. Have some fun. Get that leisure back. Get away. Take it easy. Enjoy your people. Hang with Jesus. It is okay. It is good to be kind to yourself. The best way to renew in us a compassion for others is to practice a little compassion for ourselves. Lamentations 3:22 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His compassions..." Do you know how it ends? Never fail or never come to an end. That means that our compassions can take a rest here and there because we are not the Lord. Thanks be to God. And his compassions stay steady and strong when we need to get in our boat for a little while. His compassions never fail. Let him be God. They come back to the shore soon enough, and when they get there is a needy crowd waiting for them, and now they've got something from a genuine heart to give because they have been kind to themselves and they have been away with their Jesus. Anybody got a little numbness in there? compassion fatigue setting in. But we still want to be a people who share the same tender care as Jesus did on this earth. Be real with your God about where your heart is getting hard. Enter fully into this community of care. Do your part, but also release to others to do what is theirs to do. You are not God. Don't think you have to do it all for anyone. Just put your energy into something that he's calling you into. Do that Venn diagram. Engage in worship and identify your some things. Just do something, not everything. Show compassion to yourself. Rest a while. Sneak away with Jesus. Get wherever it is that others' needs can't find you for just a moment. It's okay. Have some fun. Be with friends who don't need you, but who just want you to be around them. That's when our hearts, being cared for, can enter back into this hurting world ready to really care for others. Do that. And then go back and get in the boat again. And then come back to shore again. Then back in the boat again. And then back to shore again and again. This is the rhythm of a compassionate life with Jesus, the God whose compassions never come to an end. When ours do, we sneak away with him until he gets our hearts stirring again. This is the rhythm. Enter into this rhythm today until all the feels are back again. Hearts beating like the heart of our Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you that your compassions never fail, never come to an end. And so for those in this room who raised their hand a while ago saying, I've got some compassion fatigue, they've got permission to just rest in your arms today and let you take care of what's broken. And as we rest in you, would you energize us, fill us up to get back to shore and participate with you, to do what's ours to do, not everything, but the unique things that you have created and called us to do as your people. Awaken us to those. Get us excited about those again. Get our hands dirty participating in those. And then before we get burned out, send us back to the boat. And then bring us back to the shore. And then back to the boat. And then back to the shore. That our lives might simply be lived sharing in your heart, O Jesus, in both of those places, for we are your children. We love you. Thank you for loving us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.